For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, July the 7th, 2001. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Nell of Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the morning.
Stand with me in prayer, please. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. Let your anointing come down now, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we bless you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord God. Praise your holy name. Lord, we come before you to open your word now, Lord. Make it life to us, Lord. Make it life to us, Lord. May it enter into our hearts and touch us, Lord God, and change our hearts, Lord, and heal us. Bring forth a crop 30, 60, 100 fold in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
You know, Brother Glenn, I told everybody, most of the people who ministered to him, ministered, came for help. I came for help in 1981. And I called Irma, you know, and I didn't get to leave Salina, Kansas till about noon. And Irma told me that I could come through Fort Smith and down, and I couldn't find it on a map, and I decided I didn't want to get lost in the foothills of Arkansas in the middle of the night. So I came down the interstate, and I arrived here about 1:30 in the morning, 1 o'clock. Every place was locked up, and there must have been 50 dogs out there. This big spotlight, and it was just this huge... And I got out, and these dogs started barking, and I'm in the name of Jesus, be quiet, dogs, I bind you, be quiet. And so this building wasn't in use, and wasn't complete. And then under the stairwell over there, I had a tent. I was going to camp out. I didn't know where to go. It was drizzling rain. So I pulled my cot up under the stairwell there and put my sleeping bag in it. Crawled in. By the time I got my sleeping bag, Daniel came down. He said, Doc, no, that's you? I said, yeah, we got a bed for you up in the house up here. I said, I'm fine, son. My granddad's going to be upset now if I leave you down here. I said, son, I'm in my sleeping bag, got my clothes off. I'm going to bed. You tell your granddaddy I'm sound asleep down here. So I slept under the sleeping one. The next morning I woke up, the sun was shining against the reflective glen, had lined that wall with sheetrock that had a aluminum foil on the outside, and the sun was shining that, shining my eyes. And Mrs. Zelda was looking at me in my sleeping bag saying, what are you doing here? And so I decided I could get dressed, and I was in a mummy bag. Have you ever tried to put your pants on inside of a mummy bag with Miss Zelda sitting there looking at you? I tell you, it's difficult. But I just wanted to get up and put my pants on, but there were people wandering around, you know, and I just didn't feel like I ought to be standing in my skivvies in broad open daylight, so... Anyway, I got dressed and I just pulled my bag. I slept upstairs. I moved some of the construction material away and put my cot upstairs. And I slept upstairs in this room. I always said I was the first tenant in this building.
That's right, you were.
And been coming ever since. And I was sleeping up here, and they had an implement dealer from Minnesota, and I. And sitting there for 3 days, I did what they told me to. I sat there and I breathed out and I put both feet on the floor and I grieved with them and I breathed out and I waited. And after 4 deliverance services, I went to the Arlen Rostoff, who was the leading conference, and I complained that I wasn't getting any deliverance. And I had come down here at great personal expense and closed my office, and they were supposed to get the demons cast out of me, and nothing had happened, and I wanted to know why. And his words of wisdom, well, maybe today will be your day. And that's all he said. That night he got up and he said, you know, the Lord Jesus has given me a list of demons to pray for. And he had my list. And he called out the first one. I was that second row right over there. It threw me on the floor and I vomited, you know. And he called out the next one. And I sort of rolled over in it. And he called out the third one. I was on my hands. And some poor soul came over and took pity on me. Took pity on me. And they sort of held their hand out like this. And I'm down there throwing my intestines out. And they were saying, help him, Lord. Help him. I had to get up and go take a shower, but you know, I changed that day. When I came back to the camp, the people wanted to know what had happened to me. They said, you know, you're not the same person. Something's happened to you. I said, yeah, I had the devil cast out of me. They said, we believe that. We believe that. So, there was a little kid that couldn't talk very well, and he could not communicate, and he was mentally retarded. And I was sitting on the banister up there reading, and he came by, and I tried to communicate with him, and I just read the word to him. I just read the word to him, and he seemed to have said, I read the word to him for an hour. And so that night, they asked if anybody wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost. This little kid came up, and he said, I saw Dr. Null ministering to this child upstairs. He said, you come down here and pray. I never prayed for anybody to get the Holy Ghost. So I asked him to tell me how to do it. And so I just wrapped my arms around this kid and began to pray for him, you know. And he just sort of went limp in my arms, and I had to hold him up. And then I got sort of weak and just sat down with him, you know, and held him. And when he came to, he spoke in tongues, and then he spoke in English, and then he got up and walked straight. God healed him. And I thought there was something different about this place after that. And several other things happened that day at that camp meeting. I was...
But you never thought you'd be back standing where you're at now.
Well, no. And... it was and I've made every camp meeting with three or four since then. That was in 1981. Sometimes I have difficulty getting coverage for my practice, and sometimes my partners act like they want holidays off, too. So those days I have to work. And today we're going to talk about, yesterday we talked about unforgiveness. And how unforgiveness can block your deliverance. Today we're going to talk about something that will defile you. We're going to talk about bitterness. Your bitterness is a root that rolls down into you and defiles you. If you look up the Webster's Dictionary of Bitter, it comes from the Old English base biting or to bite. And even today, when we have something we taste something that's real bitter, real bad, we say it's got a bite to it. And so bitter. And so it's Webster's first edition definition is designating have a sharp or often unpleasant taste. The second one is causing or showing sore, discomfort, or pain, grievous. And the third one is characterized by strong feelings of hatred. Now, sometimes when you have something that hurts you, it sort of bites in. When someone offended you, you know, I got offended last night, night before last. Something happened. I won't go into exactly what it was, but I got offended. Something someone said to me. A demon spoke out of someone to me. And I knew it was a demon. I identified it the minute that person opened their mouth and then it turned around and bit me with that thing. I mean, it was a biting comment. And I took up the offense. You know, I was foolish. You know where the word in the Bible foolish comes from? The root for foolish is moronic, from which we get moron. And the Bible says you've been foolish. You've acted like a moron. You hadn't had good sense. You're dumb. Well, but I took up the offense. And I went over and sat down. And fantasy came on me as I began to fantasize on what I should have said to get back. Or what I was going to say tomorrow to get even. And the Holy Spirit anointing just lifted off of me. Just lifted. That grieved the Holy Spirit. And I stopped. I said, Lord, what's happening to me? And I began to pray for that person. And I began to bind that Jezebel spirit. And the anger and the rage and the bitterness in that person that I saw. But what I did was I saw this anger and rage and bitterness and hurt. And the compassion of God just reached out. And I touched that person and said, can I pray for you? And that's when that demon spoke to me. That biting comment that bit me. And I took offense to it. The devil tried to trap me. God wanted me to pray for that person. Wanted that person to be healed and delivered. And delivered from that religious spirit that they have. They think they're a person of God. They think God moves through them. And through religious posturing, they have convinced themselves that they are a great spiritual person. They don't even know the Holy Ghost. All they know is a demon. It's not in this room. That person's not in this room. I'll have to say that. Okay? I don't want you to say it. You're talking about me. No, I'm not talking about anybody in here. But the thing is, I won't say any more about this except that the devil whispered in my ear, the devil whispered in my ear, and I picked up the offense. I'm going to tell you people, don't pick up an offense. And Jesus said, in this life, you will be offended. And the enemy will offend you. He will sin. He will set up circumstances in this lifetime so that you will be offended. Now, Jesus was offended. The Pharisees offended him. People offended him. But he didn't pick up the offense. One place in the Bible it said that Jesus looked at them angrily. The man with the withered arm, and he looked at the Pharisees angrily, looked at them angrily. It says in Mark, it's the only place it says that. When he said, should I heal this man on the Sabbath? And they wouldn't answer him. And he was angry at the hardness of their heart. And then he healed them. Don't let the sun go down in your anger. Don't let the sun go down in your anger. Don't pick up and somebody baits you. I was ministering to a couple members of my family. And one of them is homosexual. And he began to bait me, quoting the Bible and talking about Paul and Paul's homophobic writings. And I refused to pick up the offense. I said, that's the way you read it? I said, well, I interpret it a little bit differently, but I'm not going to argue with you about it. Because all he was trying to bait me to get me into a fight with him in my sister's house. And there wasn't any way in the world I was going to offend my poor sister and get in a fight in her house. Because she doesn't want disgust in her house, and neither does her husband, and they said so. They told me that. And I said, fine, I will not discuss it in your home. But nevertheless, this young man kept baiting me. And I just said, you know, I said, Lord, you have to give me grace here because I will not pick up the offense. I will not pick up the offense. I just said, God bless you. May God bless you. And so, don't take an offense. Because when you pick up an offense, you let somebody bite you like that, that will go down into you as a root of bitterness. And it will grow down in and defile you. Hebrews says that there many have been defiled by a root of bitterness. Now, Derek Prince says that root of bitterness is a person in the body. And you can have a bitter person in the body that will go around and defile the body. They'll be backbiters and whisperers. And any pastor that's had any experience at all going into a church can tell you that there's some dear sweet old ladies in there. And men, they're just the sweetest little old people, you know. And you will, Father, so-and-so didn't do it that way 15 years ago. and just backbite you and whisper and mutter. Oh. And they will defile the body. But we're talking about you personally. And so, now, bitterness, and I told you yesterday that bitterness and rebellion come from the same root, come from Marah. If you look up it, look in your Bible in 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23. This is a familiar scripture to most of you. But let's look at it. And the story here is that God sent Saul out to completely destroy the Amalekites. He didn't kill all of them. Like God told him, he's supposed to kill every man, woman, child, every animal, everything. Well, he kept the best of the horses and the cows and then kept the king alive and he kept the best to offer as a sacrifice. And Samuel showed up and said, why have you not kept these? But I have kept them. Well, let's look at it here. And it's the verse 19. Then why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Samuel said, but I have obeyed. I have gone on the mission of the Lord. Sent me and I brought back Agag the king and I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, the sheep and the oxen and the best of things which have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, has the Lord a greater delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to heed than the fat of rams. Verse 23, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Now that word rebellion there is... It's Strong's word is 4805, and if you look up the definition for that, that can be defined as either as bitter or rebellion. And it comes from the root 4784, Mara, which is bitter. Bitterness, I say this to you, if you become bitter, you will be rebellious, and if you're a bitter person, you will rebel. Bitterness also springs into pride. Rebellion springs into pride. It says in the Bible that a scornful person, says a proud person, scorner is his name. And it says a scorner will not take direction. A scornful person is a rebellious person who will not heed direction. Or correction. That's a rebellious person. And so you can see bitterness leads into pride. And pride feeds into stubbornness. In Nehemiah chapter 9, it says that a proud person is a stubborn, stiff-necked person. And a stubborn, stiff-necked person is also the scornful person who is deceived and will not accept correction. You see how these things feed one into the other? Now, iniquity Let's look over here. It said stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Now, what is an iniquity? An iniquity is rebellion and all its evil consequences. And so he just says a stubborn person is a rebellious person. Now, if you look at Psalm 66:18, it says, if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. He won't hear you. He says, what does that mean, an iniquity? What it means if you're rebellious and you, God has told you, you know, a sin is when you miss the mark. That's what sin means. It means literally to miss the mark. When you transgress, so you can sin and not know it, but a transgressor is one who breaks the law. You know it's the law, but you break it and you transgress it. Someone with an iniquity is you know that you're breaking the law, and you say, I like to do it, I don't care what the law says, I'm going to do it anyway. Now that's rebellion. And God says that if he is witness to your heart that something is wrong, and you say you're going to do it anyway because you want to, or sometimes folks just say, well, you know, I'm just... Lots of men in sexual sin will say, I know it's wrong, but I just can't help myself. My hormones just drive me, and I just have to do it. And God understands. Why, he understands how he made men. He made me this way. Or he says I had one man tell me, well, the Bible says God is going to meet all of my needs out of his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, and he knows that I need a woman. If he don't provide me with a wife for sex, then I'm just going to get it where I can. And he was trying to seduce women in the Bible study. And I'm just going to get it where I can. I said, not in this Bible study you're not going to get it. And I said, there's the door.
Yes.
That's an iniquity, people. And what is this? God said, he's not going to hear your prayer. And if you're in iniquity and stubbornness, you're in rebellion and bitterness is going to creep in. You see how deception will come in. That man was bitter. He didn't have a wife. God was supposed to present him with a godly wife. He hadn't, and so by gosh, he was going to get what he had coming. And God was supposed to supply it. Therefore, he supplied it in the Bible study. Now, I'm sure that none of y'all would reason like that, but that's what deception will do to you. That's what deception will do, and bitterness will lead you into that. It all happens because you pick up an offense. It leads you down this spiral pathway. It can lead you the other way. It can lead you into fear. It can lead you into feeling that you've been rejected and unwanted and unloved. And fear can come in. And it can do both to you. Make you bitter and make you feel you're unloved. And make you scared. It's because you pick up demons, people. Okay. Psalm 68:6 says, rebellious will dwell in a dry land. And Psalm 17:11. Let's look at that one. That's not Psalms, that's Proverbs. I'm sorry. Proverbs 17:11. An evil man seeks only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger will be sent against him. That word messenger there is angelos, angel. Now that word appears several other places in the Bible. It appears in Judges, where Abimelech had killed all of his brothers, the sons of Jeroboam, Gibeon. And Gibeon's youngest son had gotten away. And Abimelech and the men of Shechem had come to a pact to rule Israel. And so this youngest son, Joram, had got up on the hill and had looked down on him and had pronounced a curse on him. And it said, God sent a spirit of ill will between the men of Shechem and Abimelech. That spirit of ill will is the same thing, this cruel messenger. It said about Saul, after he anointed David, that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from God troubled him. Same word, an evil angel. You don't want the evil angel. It was also the death angel that went out and killed all the firstborn. It speaks in the Psalms, the same word used of the death destroying angels that went out and killed all the firstborn in Egypt. And so that is what will come against you if you stay in rebellion and bitterness. A bitter, rebellious person has an evil angel. Now, what do you suppose that evil angel does? It whispers in his ear in the first person and talks to him. How many of y'all ever talked to someone that's having demonic problems and having personal problems? And you talk to them and you explain it to them and they agree and they understand and they go home. And you talk to them about 3 hours later. And what they're telling you now, why you said such and such and such, and it has no, it's twisted all around and all screwed up. That the coach has talked to them. See? Their evil angel, their coach, their false comforter, sometimes they think it's the Holy Spirit. Why, he can get up and prophesy in church with that. If you let him move through you. Now, y'all, I'm sure that y'all have never been in church where somebody got up and prophesied out with an evil spirit, you know? I mean, with a... and somebody gets that there and brings out some man, I mean, just curl your toes. It's so condemning. And I hope that the preacher would say, prophecy edifies, comforts, and exhorts. That word brings confusion, condemnation, and bondage is not from God. How many of y'all ever heard a pastor get up and pronounce a sermon like that? Very few. They don't want to. You know, that might be a high tithe. God forgive me. But, and so, if you let bitterness come in, you come into rebellion, and you can wind up with a coach, an evil messenger that will confuse you, speak fear to you, tell you that you're not loved. Now, rebellion is the outward sign of rejection. Now, hear me. Rejection is the doorkeeper that opens the door. And I feel like fully 70-80% of the cases you're supposed to, more than half, that you've been rejected. Rejection is the thing that opens the door. Now, rejection. Oh, the other one. Lord, I didn't intend to go this way. Rejection is twofold. First is the feeling of being rejected, the verb. See, someone doesn't accept you, and you feel that you are not accepted. Someone has rejected you, and the other force of rejection is you refuse to accept someone and you reject them as a verb. Okay? What did Eve do? Eve refused to accept the Word of God. She accepted the lie from the devil. The devil said, God has withheld his best from you. You see that? He told you you could eat everything in this garden but that apple tree. It's always an apple tree. But the tree of discernment of good and evil. That's the only thing you can't have. Why, God has held his best from you. Why, you know, if you took of that fruit, you'd be smaller as he is. That's the reason he don't want you eating it. And she allowed that rejection to come into her. that God didn't love her, that God had really didn't love her as much as he'd said, that he had withheld the best from her, and he was trying to keep that just for himself and wouldn't share with her. And so she rejected God's commandment. She rebelled and rejected God's commandment and reached out and took the forbidden fruit. You see the twofold way rejection works. It can be either that you feel, and so then you in turn, you see, the denial of love comes in on one side, and you rebel on the other side. And so she rejected God's commandment. She rebelled and rejected God's commandment and reached out and took the forbidden fruit. You see the twofold way rejection works. It can be either that you feel, and so then you in turn, you see, the denial of love comes in on one side, and you rebel on the other side. And so the denial of love is what comes into you. You receive. And your outward expression of that is rebellion. And it's a circle. When you rebel, people reject you. You rebel and become belligerent and ugly, loud and boisterous and demanding. People go, oh, go away. So then you get rejected and it just comes back full circle. It just goes round and round. It's a never-ending spiral. Now, your birthright, because Eve was deceived. Adam wasn't deceived. First Timothy, Paul says Adam was not deceived. Eve was deceived. Adam wasn't deceived. So he out and out rebelled against God. He rejected God's commandment outright. Consequently, rejection became your birthright. He fell, and rejection became your birthright. Seth was made in the image of Adam. Adam begot self in his own image. Adam was made in the image of the living God. He had a covering of light, just like God. But when he fell, he lost the covering. That's the reason he knew something was wrong, and he went out and tried to cover himself with the fig leaves. And God then instituted the you know, what did God tell him if he took, he would die? That's what he said. Mm-hmm. And so God then instituted the system of animal sacrifice. Something had to die. So God went out and substituted for Adam an innocent animal, and God killed it himself, took the skins, and made him a covering. God, that was the first blood shed in the Bible, was when God killed the innocent animal to atone for Adam's sin. That had anything to do with bitterness, but I just throw that in for good measure. And Seth was made in, if you go back to Genesis chapter 5, I think it is, 4, you'll see in the genealogy, you'll see Adam begot Seth in his own image. That's Genesis chapter 4, I think. Somebody said 4:2. I think that's right. 5:3. I could go back and talk about the fall and the slaying of Cain, which is all very interesting. That's a very interesting thing. Let's go back and look at that. We'll just take a minute. We already so far behind. I'll never get through all this. So we just sort of wander around on a fig trail, and we can pick it up later. Go back to Genesis chapter 4. Let's look at that. Genesis chapter 4. Now, Adam knew Eve, his wife. Knew means intimate knowledge. She conceived, bore Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from God. She bore a second time, and his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass, Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstlings of the flock and their fat. And God respected Abel and his offering. He did not respect Cain and his offering. Now, why? How do you think that God didn't respect Cain's offering? How did Cain know God didn't respect his offering? Other places where God was satisfied with an offering, fire fell from heaven. With Noah, it fell from heaven. With Solomon and David, it fell from heaven. So So probably with my thought is that the fire didn't fall on him, and Cain became angry and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? Now get this, if you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin lies at the door, or crouches at the door, and its desire is for you and should rule over you." And you should rule over it, I'm sorry. Now that's an interesting verse. And the word sin there is derived from the archaic word for demon. Now I asked my Hebrew scholar about this and showed him the word. And he said, "Well, Dad, you remember that. You remember when I took you through the natural science, museum there in England, and you saw all those Assyrian artifacts?" I said, "Yeah." "You remember those funny little things they had with wings and goblin heads?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "That's what they are." He said, "They were idols that sat outside of a building. And they were either benevolent beings if you'd made the proper sacrifice to the demon gods that ruled them, or malevolent if you didn't make a good offering. And in one hand they held a basket, in the other hand they held a shaft with a pine cone on the end." He said, scholars don't know what the shaft with the pine cone and the basket were. I said, "Oh, man, I can tell you what that means. If you don't do good, you get the shaft with the pine cone. And if you do good, you get to pick a blessing out of the basket. Only you have to reach up like this and go down. You see, you can't see what's in the basket. Might be a lobster in there or a rat's going to bite your hand. You deal with the devil, you don't know what you're going to get." But that is the root word for sin. There's demon. So you see, demon, that thing is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. That's interesting. But I didn't have enough. I don't have enough background. I can only tell you what my Hebrew scholar. My Hebrew scholar is my son. He graduated from Cambridge and reads Greek and Hebrew and researches this sort of thing. And the Assyrians, if they captured you, they would impale you on a stake and skin you alive. They would give you the shaft and stick in you alive while you're standing there. The same thing that my Indian forebears used to do to captives, they call. You know, the noble Indian. That was the way they the louder they could get their captives to scream, the more power they could draw from them. They drew power from their captives by making them scream, torturing. They became experts at torture. The Satanists will do that today. Okay, let's go on. Let's look at rejection. Rebellion is the outward sign of rejection. Let's look at your birthright. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 16. You know, I studied rejection and studied rejection trying to find something about rejection. And I read everything Derek Prince wrote about it. And I read everything everybody else wrote about it. And I couldn't find anybody that really had a handle on rejection. On root of rejection. And one day I was reading about coverings, and I found this. I looked up coverings. I was looking up coverings. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 1. "Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem." Now, Jerusalem is a type of the church in the Old Testament. "Know the church to know her abominations. Thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, your birth and your nativity from the land of Cana." Cana means rejected or despised. "Your father was an Amorite," that's pride, "and your mother was a Hittite," that's fear. And so you have fear going in and pride coming out. It's an outward manifestation and an inward manifestation. "As for your nativity, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water to cleanse you, nor you rubbed with salt, nor swathed with swaddling clothes. No, I pitied you to do any of these things, to have compassion on you, but you were thrown out into an open field, and you yourself were loathed on the day you were born." Now, that is utter rejection. I can't imagine anything more rejected than that. And that was the day, that was your birthright when you were born. But then, what does he say? When I passed by, I saw you struggling in your own blood. And I said to you in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you in your blood, live. And that was the day that Jesus Christ walked by before the foundation of the earth and he chose you. You were chosen before the foundation of the earth. He chose you by his foreknowledge. He says that in Ephesians, says it in 1 Peter. You were chosen of God before the foundation. He walked by and he looked at you and he said, live. Now, Irma can tell you a little different story about that. Jesus walked by her when she was bleeding to death and he said to her, live. Right, Irma? And she lived. But he said to you, live before the foundation of the earth. And so what happens here next? And I made you thrive like a plant. You grew and grew mature, and you were beautiful. Your breasts were formed, your hair grew, but you were naked and bare. And when I passed by and looked upon you, it was a time for love. So I spread my wing or my garment over you, covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you, entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord God. And that was a day of salvation. That was the day that he spread his wing over you, his covering over you. And he said, and he made a blood covenant with you, and you became a child of the living God. In your day of salvation, you entered into the family of God, and you were coveted in. And if you go on and read, you'll see how the church has rebelled against the Lord God. And I think that rebellion is about to come to a head. It's all that prophecy there is a prophecy for the church today. Read it. Just put church in for Jerusalem, and you'll see that that's a prophecy of Jerusalem today. It talks about Sodom and Gomorrah and gives you the sin of Sodom and so forth. That was written 2,500 years ago for our day today. It had an immediate fulfillment in the fall of Jerusalem. It had a distant fulfillment in the church today. But it shows that rejection. And he covered your nakedness. Remember that when they fell, they were naked. God made a skins to cover their nakedness then with animal sacrifice. Jesus came and he shed his blood to cover your nakedness of your soul. He covered you with a wing and put you into the family of God, and he covered your nakedness with his blood, not animal blood anymore. Praise you, Lord Jesus. And you are not a rejected child anymore. Pride and terror are no longer your birthrights. Your terror comes in. When you are rejected, if you look at, oh, I've got this all crafted out. Oh, Jesus, I've got. Ida Mae Hamlin had a vision of this from God 30 years ago. And about 5 years ago, I asked God to give me scripture for it because there was very little scripture to it. It was just, this is God's vision, and I knew it worked when you went in deliverance. It was an absolute beautiful tool to use in deliverance, but I couldn't find scripture for it. And that's when I said, begin to look for rejection, to find scripture for the schizophrenic revelation. God gave me all the scripture. I've got it all laid out. But terror, the thing that comes in when you're rejected is fear. Terror will come in. It's a lack of love. It's a denial of love. The only thing that fulfills the hole in your heart today is God's love, the Father's love. And you need to pray that God will give you a revelation of his love. I told you yesterday that if you wanted, day before yesterday, if you wanted a revelation of God's love, you couldn't love the world. For it says, if you love the world, the things in the world, the love of the Father's not in you. You've got to turn from loving the world and let God pour his love into you. And then his love can pour out of you. But that love will drive out fear. And that drives out rejection. For rejection is fear. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being good enough. Fear of not making it. Fear of failure. When you feel fear coming on you, you say, I am not a rejected child. I am a child of the living God. God loves me. And then you say, I will not let bitterness come in and defile me. I will not be rebellious and let bitterness come in and defile me. The love of God will come in and you start praising God and put your praise tapes on and get up and just start praising God and saying, thank you for the blood of Jesus, Lord. Thank you that you made me a child of the living God. I am the perfect love of the Lord Jesus Christ does drive out all fear. Fear be gone in the name of Jesus. The devil rules you through fear. All your life, it said in Hebrews, that he ruled you in the fear of death. It says in Hebrews chapter 2. It says, all his life you were afraid of death. That's the way the devil has ruled. That's what witchcraft does to you. That's the way people treat you when they're manipulating. They manipulate you through fear. And that fear brings in rebellion and bitterness. And that brood of bitterness will go down and defile you. It'll interfere with your husband and wife relationship. Colossians 3:19. I'm not teaching anymore. I'm preaching now. I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Do not reject them. Do not be angry with them. Do not be... Praise you, Lord Jesus. The denial of love is what comes into you. You receive. And your outward expression of that is rebellion. And it's a circle. When you rebel, people reject you. You rebel and become belligerent and ugly, loud and boisterous and demanding. People go, oh, go away. So then you get rejected and it just comes back full circle. And it just goes round and round. It's a never-ending spiral. Now, your birthright, because Eve was deceived. Adam wasn't deceived. In First Timothy, Paul says Adam was not deceived. Eve was deceived. Adam wasn't deceived. So he out and out rebelled against God. He rejected God's commandment outright. Consequently, rejection became your birthright. He fell, and rejection became your birthright. Seth was made in the image of Adam. Adam begot Seth in his own image. Adam was made in the image of the living God. He had a covering of light, just like God. But when he fell, he lost the covering. That's the reason he knew something was wrong. He went out and tried to cover himself with the fig leaves. And God then instituted the you know, what did God tell him if he would die? That's what he said. And so God then instituted the system of animal sacrifice. Something had to die. So God went out and substituted for Adam an innocent animal, and God killed it himself, took the skins, and made him a covering. God, that was the first blood shed in the Bible, was when God killed the innocent animal to atone for Adam's sin. That doesn't have anything to do with bitterness, but I just throw that in for good measure. And Seth was made in, if you go back to Genesis chapter 5, I think it is, 4, you'll see in the genealogy, you'll see Adam begot Seth in his own image. That's Genesis chapter 4, I think. Somebody said 4:2, I think that's right. No. 5:3. I could go back and talk about the fall and the slaying of Cain, which is all very interesting. That's a very interesting thing. Let's go back and look at that. We'll just take a minute. We're already so far behind, I'll never get through all this. So we just sort of wander around on a fig trail, and we can pick it up later. Go back to Genesis chapter 4. Let's look at that. Genesis chapter 4. Now, Adam knew Eve, his wife. Knew means intimate knowledge. She conceived, bore Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from God. She bore a second time, and his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass, Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstlings of the flock and their fat. And God respected Abel and his offering. He did not respect Cain and his offering. Now, how do you think that God didn't respect Cain's offering? How did Cain know God didn't respect his offering? Other places where God was satisfied with an offering, fire fell from heaven. With Noah, it fell from heaven. With Solomon and David, it fell from heaven. So probably thought is that the fire didn't fall on him. And Cain became angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen?" Now get this, if you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin lies at the door, or crouches at the door, and its desire is for you and should rule over you. And you should rule over it, I'm sorry. Now that's an interesting verse. And the word sin there is derived from the archaic word for demon. Now I asked my Hebrew scholar about this, and showed him the word. And he said, "My dad, you remember that? You remember when I took you through the natural science, museum there in England, and you saw all those Assyrian artifacts?" I said, "Yeah." "You remember those funny little things they had with wings and goblin heads?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "That's what they are." He said, "They were idols that sat outside of a building. And they were either benevolent beings if you'd made the proper sacrifice to the demon gods that rule them, or malevolent if you didn't make a good offering. And in one hand they held a basket, in the other hand they held a shaft with a pine cone on the end." He said, now, scholars don't know what the shaft with the pine cone and the basket were. I said, "Oh man, I can tell you what that means. If you don't do good, you get the shaft with the pine cone. And if you do good, you get to pick a blessing out of the basket. Only you have to reach up like this and go down. You see, you can't see what's in the basket. It might be a lobster in there, or a rat's going to bite your hand. You deal with the devil, you don't know what you're going to get." But that is the root word for sin. There's demon. So you see, demon, that thing is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. That's interesting. But I didn't have enough. I don't have enough background. I can only tell you what my Hebrew scholar, is my son. He graduated from Cambridge and reads Greek and Hebrew and researches this sort of thing. And the Assyrians, if they captured you, they would impale you on a stake and skin you alive. They would give you the shaft and stick in you alive while you're standing there. The same thing that my Indian forebears used to do to captives, they call. You know, the noble Indian. That was the way the louder they could get their captives to scream, the more power they could draw from them. They drew power from their captives by making them scream, by torturing. They became experts at torture. The Satanists will do that today. Okay, let's go on. Let's look at rejection. Rebellion is the outward sign of rejection. Let's look at your birthright. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 16. You know, I studied rejection and studied rejection trying to find something about rejection. And I read everything Derek Prince wrote about it, and I read everything everybody else wrote about it, and I couldn't find anybody that really had a handle on rejection. On root of rejection. And one day I was reading about coverings, and I found this. I looked up coverings. I was looking up coverings. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 1. "Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem." Now, Jerusalem is a type of the church in the Old Testament. "Know the church to know her abominations. Thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, your birth and your nativity from the land of Cana. Cana means rejected or despised. Your father was an Amorite, that's pride, and your mother was a Hittite, that's fear. And so you have fear going in and pride coming out. It's an outward manifestation and inward manifestation. As for your nativity, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water to cleanse you, nor you rubbed with salt, nor swathed with swaddling clothes. No, I pitied you to do any of these things, to have compassion on you, but you were thrown out into an open field, and you yourself were loathed on the day you were born. Now, that is utter rejection. I can't imagine anything more rejecting than that. And that was the day, that was your birthright when you were born. But then, what does he say? When I passed by, I saw you struggling in your own blood. And I said to you in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you in your blood, live. And that was the day that Jesus Christ walked by before the foundation of the earth and he chose you. You were chosen before the foundation of the earth. He chose you by his foreknowledge. He says that in Ephesians, says it in 1 Peter. You were chosen of God before the foundation. He walked by and he looked at you and he said, live. Now, Irma can tell you a little different story about that. Jesus walked by her when she was bleeding to death, and he said to her, live. Right, Irma? And she lived. But he said to you, live before the foundation of the earth. And so what happens here next? And I made you thrive like a plant. You grew and grew mature. You were beautiful. Your breasts were formed. Your hair grew, but you were naked and bare. And when I passed by and looked upon you, it was a time for love. So I spread my wing or my garment over you, covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you, entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord God. And that was a day of salvation. That was a day that he spread his wing over you, his covering over you. And he said, and he made a blood covenant with you, and you became a child of the living God. Your day of salvation, you entered into the family of God, and you were coveted in. And if you go on and read, you'll see how the church has rebelled against the Lord God. And I think that rebellion is about to come to a head. It's all that prophecy there is a prophecy of the church today. Read it. Just put church in for Jerusalem, and you'll see that that's a prophecy of Jerusalem today. It talks about Sodom and Gomorrah and gives you the sin of Sodom and so forth. That was written 2,500 years ago for our day today. It had an immediate fulfillment in the fall of Jerusalem, and it had a distant fulfillment in the church today. But it shows that that rejection. And he covered your nakedness. Remember that when they fell, they were naked. God made us skins to cover their nakedness then with animal sacrifice. Jesus came and he shed his blood to cover your nakedness of your soul. He covered you with a wing and put you in the family of God. And he covered your nakedness with his blood, not animal blood anymore. Praise you, Lord Jesus. And you are not a rejected child anymore. Pride and terror are no longer your birthrights. Your terror comes in when you are rejected. If you look at, I've got this all crafted out. Oh, Jesus, I've got. Ida Mae Hamlin had a vision of this from God 30 years ago. And about 5 years ago, I asked God to give me scripture for it because there was very little scripture to it. It was just, this is God's vision, and I knew it worked when you went in deliverance. It was an absolute beautiful tool to use in deliverance, but I couldn't find scripture for it. And that's when I said, begin to look for rejection, to find scripture for the schizophrenic revelation. God gave me all the scripture. I got it all laid out. But terror. The thing that comes in when you're rejected is fear. Terror will come in. It's the lack of love. It's the denial of love. The only thing that fulfills the hole in your heart today is God's love, the Father's love. And you need to pray that God will give you a revelation of his love. I told you yesterday
that if you wanted, day before yesterday, if you wanted a revelation of God's love, you couldn't love the world. For it says, if you love the world, the things in the world, the love of the Father is not in you. You've got to turn from loving the world and let God pour His love into you. And then His love can pour out of you. But that love will drive out fear. And that drives out rejection. For rejection is fear. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being good enough. Fear of not making it. Fear of failure. When you feel fear coming on you, you say, I am not a rejected child. I am a child of the living God. God loves me. And then you say, I will not let bitterness come in and defile me. I will not be rebellious and let bitterness come in and defile me. The love of God will come in, and you start praising God and put your praise tapes on and get up and just start praising God and saying, thank you for the blood of Jesus, Lord. Thank you that you made me a child of the living God. I am the perfect love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just drive out all fear. Fear be gone in the name of Jesus. The devil rules you through fear. All your life, it said in Hebrews, that he ruled you in the fear of death. That says in Hebrews chapter 2. It says, all his life you were afraid of death. That's the way the devil has ruled. That's what witchcraft does to you. That's the way people treat you when they're manipulating. They manipulate you through fear. And that fear brings in rebellion and bitterness. And that brood of bitterness will go down and defile you. It interfere with your husband and wife relationship. Colossians 3:19. I'm not teaching anymore. I'm preaching now. I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Do not reject them. Do not be angry with them. Do not be... Praise you, Lord Jesus. It'll grieve the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed on the day of resurrection. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. But be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another just as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. It'll grieve. Being bitter will grieve the Holy Spirit. And it leads to deception. James 3:14. I've showed you how it does that. It brings in pride. Brings in the scorner who will not receive instruction. Who can't see the truth. James 3:14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, soulish, demonic. Have you got a King James that says sensual there? Whenever you see that word sensual, think soulish. It says there's no word such as soulish. The soulish is not a word in English. It's not in the dictionary. But it says you bear the natural body. That's a soulish body. It says the natural man does not receive the things of God for their foolishness. That's a soulish man. So, soulish is usually defined as sensual or natural in the King James. In the Greek, it says soulish. A rebel, a person who resists authority, the abuse of authority can cause bitterness. Colossians 3:1. That's not right. Oh, I'll have to look that up, Ken. I know the scripture, but it's not Colossians 3:1. No, that's 3:19. It says, children obey your parents, and parents don't provoke your children to wrath. And I can't remember. There it is. Do not provoke your children. Let's see. Children obey your parents. Fathers, not provoke your children unless they become discouraged. If
A father will abuse his authority. Your children become sullen, morose, inferior, frustrate, and they become bitter. In Exodus, it said the abuse of authority by the overseers produced bitter bondage. And anger produced anguish, bitterness, anguish. And Matthew 5:22 says, anger not resolved produces bitterness. And if you can wind up in God's jailhouse from that. Let's look at that. Anger. Matthew 5:22. Always word. This was a verse that always. It says, I say to you, whoever has anger with his brother without a cause in danger of judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. Whoever says, you fool. Therefore, if you bring your guilt to the altar, and remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. Go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come offer your gift. And to agree with your adversaries quickly while you're on the way, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge hand you the officer and be thrown into prison. And I interpret that a lot of ways, and the way I understand that now is that if your brother's got something against you, or you've got something against your brother, you're angry with your brother, or your brother's angry with you, go resolve it. Paul says, hadn't you rather be cheated? Hadn't you rather be cheated than to go to court? Jesus said, if your brother wants your coat, give him your cloak too. God said, settle it. Because if you don't settle it, that man's going to turn you over to the judge. And because you are carrying the anger and refuse to sell it, you're in unforgiveness and you'll be living into God's jailhouse like the man in Matthew 18. Settle disturbances. As much, now I talked several times about this friend of mine that I offended 20 years ago. And I tried and tried to settle with him, and I never could settle it with him. He always just said, I'm going to get you. And I went to his bedside and prayed for him when he had his heart attack, and I prayed for him when he had his knees replaced, and his hips replaced, and his joints and his hands replaced, and I prayed for him, and this thing. And then 20 years later, that thing came up, and something settled down, his jaw got set, and he looked at me and said, I'm going to get you yet for it. I hadn't forgotten. Now, I'm doing all I can. I said, Scripture says as much as it depends on you, be at peace. I tried, Lord. But he won't let it go. And it's destroying him. He's got the root of bitterness that's defiling and destroying him. And I've done the best I can. Unforgiveness is rebellion against God. We talked about that. So bitterness and unrebelliousness and rebellion and unforgiveness are all tied together. And people, if you got bitterness in you, or if you allow someone to offend you, you want to keep your deliverance? Don't pick up an offense. Don't pick it up. Somebody throws a spear down, you look at it. Say, ooh, isn't that a pretty spear? They throw down the gauntlet to you. Say, oh, that is a pretty gauntlet. Boy, yeah. May God bless you, brother. Like I did with this young gentleman that was trying to bait me. And he threw the gauntlet. About the fifth time he threw it down, I just smiled at him and said, God bless you. I said, that's the way you feel. I went, okay, God bless you. I said, God bless you. And he stopped. I could have gotten into a bitter argument with him, knowing I couldn't win when I started. All it would have done was offended my poor sister and got her upset. And I think that's what he wanted to do, so I wouldn't get invited back or something. I don't know. I've always had a good relationship with my sister and her husband, and besides, I walk into a person's house. I go to a lot of churches, and I talk to the pastor. And I'm not going to preach anything that's going to offend the pastor or cause him troubles when I leave. I asked him, I had one man tell me, he said, now, I don't want you casting out any demons. Then don't you cast out any demons then. Well, he was an Assembly of God pastor, and that's against that doctrine. The Christian can't have demons. And I said, doctor. And I said, well,
Okay, he invited the deliverance preacher to come. So, I taught on unforgiveness and told him it blocked their healing and blocked them being prosperous, blocked their relationship with their wives. And then I asked them all stand up and we would pray that that unforgiveness would depart. We had a few manifestations out there, but I just thought folks, he just figured folks was getting upset, you know, or getting emotional. I didn't argue with him. I just prayed. I got invited back. And he said, if you see any demons, you can cast them out. As we was praying in the prayer room for about an hour before we went out, you know, and we just as we went out, I said, Doc, I want you to know something. I said, if you see any demons, I want you to cast them out. I said, you serious? He said, yep. I said, after people came to me and talked to me after you left, I decided maybe that you, that. And so we had a real service that night. I mean, we had... we had a real stem wine to that night. I just didn't have enough workers there. But you know, God is good. He supplies. He does supply. He supplies. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let's all stand up and let's renounce bitterness and say, Dear Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, if I have taken up offense and allowed bitterness to come into my life, I repent. I ask forgiveness for being a rebellious person. I rebuke any evil angels that have come against me. I break the curse of rebellion. And I rebuke all familiar spirits, all evil angels, all coaches, all false comforters, all the power of the enemy has been directed against me because of my rebellion and my bitterness in the name of Jesus. I declare before God and the elect angels that I am a redeemed child of the living God. I have been accepted in the beloved. I am not rejected. I am covered under the wing by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now I bind all these evil spirits. All these harassing spirits, in the name of Jesus, command them to leave me now and never come back. In the name of Jesus, I break the curses. I repent of the iniquities of my ancestors and my iniquities. I break the curses. For Jesus was made a curse for me that I might be delivered. From the curse of the law. Leave me now. In the name of Jesus. For it is written. In Joel 2:32. Anyone calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Leave me now. In Jesus' name. Or now leave them. All you false comforter spirits, all you familiar spirits, all you evil angels, go in the name of Jesus. All you tormenting spirits, go in the name of Jesus. All the spirits of bitterness, go. I pull out the root of bitterness now. I pull out the knife of betrayal and bitterness, and I bind them and I command them to leave in the name of Jesus. I bind rejection in Jesus' name. Command it to go. Now, Lord, I just stand here, Lord, and I ask you to loosen your love, Lord. For the law, the perfect love of the Lord Jesus Christ has drive out all fear, for fear has torment. Lord, that your love will drive out rejection and the fear of rejection and the fear. Let your love flow down, the love of the Father. Let your love flow down into them, Lord. I release into them a pathetic vision, Lord God, a vision of your love, Lord. of who they are in Jesus Christ. Redeemed, cleansed, redeemed, healed, restored people in the name of Jesus. I just bind all these spirits and command them to leave. And I speak healing in Jesus' name. Healing. Healing in Jesus' name. I bind the spirits of self-pity in Jesus' name. Command that spirit of self-pity to go and deep hurt and loosen the love of God. And I thank you and praise you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.